On Thursday, we had, as Pastor Trevor said, we had a good meeting, a wonderful, powerful meeting. And I believe in the name of Jesus that giants were conquered. Amen. On Thursday. Giants were slain. Amen. I believe that in Jesus' name. And as I went home, I've been thanking God and just saying, Lord, just more of you, Lord. Just more of you in our hearts, in our lives, in our church, in our homes, in every single aspect. And as I was saying that to the Lord, again, just like on Thursday when the word giants came to me on Thursday evening, I was talking to God about today, and walls came to me. Just that, just one word, walls. Just like how the word giants came on Thursday, walls came to me. And so we're going to believe. I'm believing today for folks, and I want you to believe with me, that walls, every wall in our lives is coming tumbling down in Jesus' name. That was a weak amen. I said every wall that's in our lives is going to come tumbling down in Jesus' name. And that deserves a, if you're believing it, it deserves a loud amen. Can we have a loud amen?
Amen.
Yeah, let the devil know, man. Don't be afraid to voice things, okay? We're going to voice things and do it loudly and deliberately. Because God is on the throne. He sees and he knows what's happening in your life. He knows what's happening in your family. And he sees everything that is going on. More than that, God has appropriated to us, he's assigned to us his divine power. And now his divine power is not just going to come and work because we read it. It's going to come and work because we align ourselves to it. All right, and we release those promises from our mouth. But we're not shooting blank bullets. What we're shooting is faith words. In other words, and our words are not empty, but they have faith in it. Okay? So we stand and we declare in the midst of the warfare, in the midst of everything that we're going through, we declare the goodness of God. And where do we do it? In the land of the living. So I want to exhort a little bit, and then we're going to pray. We're going to break down walls. I don't care what kind of walls are in your life. And as I'm talking, I'm going to give you some examples of some types of walls that could be in your life and what you need to believe, okay, that those walls, okay, will come tumbling down in the name of the Lord. You see, if the walls are in the way, then you can't go no further than the wall. You're going to have to find a different way around it. And sometimes there's no way around it. If I want to go out of here into the passage, I can't go through that wall because the wall is in the way. And sometimes walls are inanimate objects, okay, that stand in the way. Sometimes there are walls that we build them up, and they're in the way. And we're looking for a way out, but what we need to do is we need to talk to those walls, and we need to break down those walls in the name of Jesus. All right, I'm going to do it. Let me do it quickly. It's Communion Sunday today, so let me just do this very quickly. There are seven things that I've identified, and you might want to make a quick note of these. Okay, I'm going to go through them from my head. I'm not going to give you scripture for them, because I've got some scriptures for some, but I'm still building others. There are seven things that confront us, okay, as Christians on the path to victory that God has appropriated us to walk on. And we need to know this. Number one, burdens. All right. Number two, yokes. Number three, chains. Yeah? All right. Burdens, yokes, chains. Yeah? Number four, mountains. Number five, pits, stroke, prisons. Pits or prisons. That's number five. Number six, giants. We spoke about that. And number seven, Thursday gone. Number seven, walls. Talking about that today. Seven different things. All right? And those seven different things have one thing in common, right? For all of those seven things, for breakthrough in any of those seven different broad areas, okay, one thing is needed. You know what that is? The anointing. Amen. Did you hear me, church?
Yeah.
The anointing is what's needed. And the anointing will remove every single one. Now, I'm not talking about these now today. I want to deal specific with wars. All right? But I just thought, let me give you these seven things so that you can go home, you can look up the scriptures for these, and you can see what the Bible has to say about them. Because inside of your Bible are the promises for every single one of these seven objects that face you, that wants to hinder you, that wants to prevent you from operating and from becoming who God wants you to become. But today we're going to talk about wars. Wars are objects. Okay, that are firmly fixed. Walls block out light and they keep in darkness. Walls go up to protect ourselves from hurt, from pain. And inadvertently, while we're building up these walls to protect ourselves from these things, we're blocking out the power of God, the word of God, the will of God, and we're blocking out others from working in our lives. And so that's the danger with wars. What can cause wars to go up? Very quickly. Number of things. As a matter of fact, do you want to tell me some? What are some of the things that can cause wars to go up in our lives? Shout them out loud and clear. Trauma. Hurt. Defensiveness. Unforgiveness. Shame, which I've dealt with that topic of shame, and we should not walk in shame. Guilt. You done? Pride. Grief. Very good one. What else can cause walls to go up? Think about your own life, man. Ignorance. Sorry? Pride. That's a lot there. Let me see if you missed out any. Doubt. Okay. I've got neglect. Injury. And that injury can be caused by criticism, insults, which are unkind words. These can cause walls to go up. Abuse. I don't think anybody said abuse. And abuse can be verbal. It can be mental. It can be physical. It can be sexual. It can be emotional. Abuse on all those levels can cause walls to go up. And sometimes we have them up in our lives without even realizing that they're there. And as the Holy Spirit moves and speaks to you today, you've got to align yourself with Him and with His Word, with your purpose, and you've got to say, no, I recognize this in my life. I'm not going to ignore it. It's going to come down in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let me see. Guilt. Selfishness, still talking about things that can cause walls to go up. Pride, somebody mentioned that. Fear of not being accepted if the truth is known. That can cause walls to go up. Because you're looking and you're saying, people are going to judge me if they knew this about me. Walls go up. Grudges, which are past offenses not resolved, can cause walls to go up. And so fellowship now is not flowing the way that it should flow. Okay, are you with me? Good. Alright, so all these things can cause that. Now listen, what can happen as a result of these walls going up is trauma. Somebody mentioned that earlier. And trauma can happen and we can become hurt in our emotions, in our heart, in our spirit. In all those compartments we can be hurt. But I've got good news today, and this is the point I'm getting to, because it's a communion Sunday. We're going to pray in a moment, and we're going to break down walls in a minute. And we're going to walk out of these doors knowing that those walls will never go back up again in Jesus' name. Let me share this with you, okay? This is something else the Lord shared with me Thursday when I went home. Before I go on to, I'm going to give some scriptures in a moment, okay? We prayed that giants will go down. We prayed for five individuals that the five giants in their lives will go down in Jesus' name. Now, what I've been doing, and I know you've been doing as well, is continuing to pray and to thank God that that is no more in Jesus' name. You know what will happen if you don't do that? They'll resurrect their ugly heads. That's what will happen. So you're going to keep the word, and you're going to keep in faith. You're going to keep your perspective and see and know who you are, where you're going, and what God has already done. And so when the enemy wants to show up and to remind you of anything, use the word to bring it back down in Jesus' name. Now, this is what the Lord showed me, actually. When in the Bible, And even right up to King James times, you know, when people are beheaded, you know what they did? They chopped off their head. Isn't that what David did? Isn't that what David did? When people are, when people's heads get chopped off, you know where I'm, you're with me in the spirit, right? You're with me in the spirit. When people get their head chopped off, all right? You know what? Literally, not figuratively. They chopped their head off. David, what did David do? He lifted up the head. Right? So that what? Everybody could see that their heads are chopped off. Come on, you know it from history. Even at the Houses of Parliament. When people were beheaded for whatever reason, okay, their heads were taken and placed on spikes and shown up high. These weren't something low. Up high, right where the gateways were, so that everybody could see. You know what came to me with that? When we kill our giants, chop off their head. You know how you chop their head off? By giving a testimony. You know what they did when they lift up their head? They said, here's the proof. This is the proof that that giant is dead. Are you with me now? This is the proof that they're dead. When you chop off the giant's head, you know what you're doing? You lift up, you testify about what God has done in your life. Never keep silent when God has done something for you. Always testify. What are you doing? You're lifting up the evidence. And you're saying, this is the evidence. Look what God has done. Not you with your mighty works, but what? Look what God has done. We've trusted Him. We prayed. But look what God has done. God has got to get the glory. So you lift up your testimony. And that's another reason why we should testify. And by the way, out of those seven things I just gave you, only one of them is animated. Only one of them had human life. Had life. Not human life. Life. Let's just say life. And that's giants. All the other six are inanimate. And that's just a point to note. Let me give you some scriptures. If you're here today and you've got walls up in your life, emotion, maybe you've been hurt because of your emotion. Someone said something, someone done something, and it's hurt you, and it's there, and you know in your knower that you're not completely healed from that. I've got good news for you today. God wants those walls to come down so that healing can flow in. And that's the good news. And so I'm standing here with confidence today, knowing that I'm already thanking God. From Thursday, I've been thanking God and saying, thank you, Lord, that walls are coming down today. Thank you, Lord, for healing your precious people. Because you're precious in His sight. You're precious in my sight. We are precious in one another's sight. But God loves you so much. And I'm thanking Him that, Lord, you're bringing healing today into the lives of your people. Let me give some scriptures. Psalm 34 and verse 18. I wrote them out because of time. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. A contrite spirit is a remorseful spirit. You know, there are people who do wrong and never say sorry. Never come and apologize. Never come and say, you know what, I was wrong. In the way I'd approach you, in the way that I approach things, I was wrong in what I said, in what I did. There are people who never do that. But people who are truly remorseful will come to a place of humility where they apologize and they, you know, just come before God and come before whoever it is, not just God, okay? But you come before whoever it is and you say sorry and you move forward. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, okay, and saves such as has a contrite spirit, a remorseful spirit. Okay? And by the way, when you have a remorseful spirit, you're not just sorry for what you did, but you turn away from it. And that's repentance. You repent from it. You don't say sorry, and then you go do it again. Sorry, Lord, and then you go do it again. Sorry, Lord, and then you weren't truly remorseful. So, Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. So you see, you can have a broken spirit. And we know this already. I'm just reminding you of God's word. We've been through all of this in detail. Okay? Psalm 147 and verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Church, don't we serve a good God? My God, we don't praise Him enough, you know. I really believe that. We don't praise God enough. When you recognize who God is, man, you enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. You enter in with that. I believe I shared that with you last week. All right? The psalmist said in Psalm, 122? Is it 122 verse 1? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So because now you have a gladness of heart, you're happy to come here. You come with an expectation, if it's at the very minimum, to give God glory and praise amongst the assembly of the saints. All right. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And the verse goes on, but I'll stop there. Okay? The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing brings healing into every aspect of our lives. You may have secrets that nobody knows about. God knows about it. And the Lord is saying today that secret, sometimes it can become a wall. You're keeping it to yourself. You're segregating yourself away from the word and away from what God wants us to respond, how God wants us to respond, so that his word can penetrate those walls and knock them down. That's the anointing at work. Joshua chapter 6. I'm going to make a reference to Joshua chapter 6. Okay, and I'm going to point out two very important things. We all know about the Battle of Jericho. We all know about that. The God spoke to Joshua and said to him, tell my people, and you know the story. 6 days you march around the walls of Jericho, one time each day for 6 days. Don't say anything. Do not make any noise. Do not blow any trumpets. Nothing whatsoever. You turn up and you walk around those walls. 6 days. Can I ask you something? Could the walls of Jericho be knocked down the first time if God wants it? Could the walls of Jericho be knocked down the first time? I think I messed that one up. But of course the answer is yes. If God, but we're not going to get into the question, well, why did God make them do? And this is a problem sometimes with us. You know, well, God, couldn't you have done that? Couldn't you have done it there? Couldn't you have healed me this way? Couldn't you have healed me that time? Couldn't you have done this that time? The answer is yes, he could, but he chose not to, for his own wisdom. God knows more than you. He knows what's best for you and your loved ones, by the way. He knows. Yes, he could have done it. Of course he could. There's nothing that God cannot do. But yet he had them going out there and walking around the walls of Jericho in an illogical manner, just going and then going back home. Imagine the people up on the wall saying, here they come again. They came yesterday and the day before. Look, day 3. Here they come again. What are they going to do this time? And they walked all around the walls, not saying anything. And they did that for 6 days. And then on the 7th day, the instruction came from from God to Joshua that they must march around the walls 6 times on that 7th day, quiet. Not once now, but 6 times. And then on the 7th time, what did God tell him to do? Make a shout, man. Make a shout. Let me specifically give you the verses. Let's go to Joshua chapter 6. Just 2 points I want to lift up there. And I want to bring the principles of this right into us today. And then we're going to pray. All right? So Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2. Look at this. And the Lord said to Joshua, listen to what the Lord said to Joshua. Listen to what he said. See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Three things. God said to Joshua, see, I have given you. Not see, I'm going to give you. Not see, I am giving you. What did he say? See, I have. What's that? Past tense. Are you following me? See, I have given you. In other words, God looked at the thing, the situation, and he said, it's already done. It's a done work. See, Joshua, that I have given you. I have given you. Can I ask you the question? When he spoke to him here, were the walls come tumbling down yet? No. But yet the instruction came, Joshua, see, I have given you. Church, listen to me carefully. We've got to see that God has given us anointing, power, victory, healing, deliverance, protection, provision on every level. See, I have given you. See, I have given you. How can we say that? Because we have the promises of God telling us what we have. We already know that our salvation package is a package of blessing. It's not just becoming saved, it's a complete package, including our healing, our protection, our deliverance, our provision, everything gained, nothing missing. God has given us that passage. Are you with me? That package, not passage. But the second thing I want you to know is he said to Joshua, see, I have given you. Now, if we go to verse 16. Look at verse 16. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, now they were to blow the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you. Can I ask you the question? Did they get the city at the time when Joshua told them to have it? Did they practically have it? No. But God said to Joshua, see, I have given you. Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Do you see that? All right, let me make it sink in a little bit because you're not talking to me. Read it, and then I'm going to ask you again. Do you see that? Oh, you don't see it? No. Nobody's answering me. No. Nobody's answering me. The seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, okay? The seventh time when they marched around, okay, the priests blew the trumpets. Okay, that was the instruction that came from God. God gave it to Joshua. Joshua gave it to the people. When they marched around the seven times, okay, and the trumpets was blown as instructed by God, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. All right? Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. All right? So when did he say that? He said that just before, okay, the walls came tumbling down. Are you with me? Do you understand? All right? You shout, but don't wait for the thing to manifest itself before you shout, Lord, I give you praise. Lord, I give you thanks. No. Faith says, no, I'm going to shout now. You with me? You better be with me, you know, because if you miss this, you're going to miss a lot of things. And God wants us to exact faith in our lives. Okay? To bring about his purposes. Remember now, you want it, but guess what? If it's in line with God's word, God wants it. He wants you healed. He wants you set free. He wants you delivered. He wants you prosperous. He wants you to have every good thing that he has provided for you, but he has set up a system by which, okay, the manifestation occurs. And we've got to understand that. If we don't understand it, we're going to miss a lot of blessings. And God doesn't want us to miss it. So you've got to look in the midst of your pain and give God thanks and shout for joy. You've got to look in the midst of your nothingness. Well, I haven't received it yet, but I believe in God for it. I give you praise, Lord. That's why Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, that's your petitioning, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And I've said this so many times. Notice the word thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. You're bringing your petitions, but you're bringing it with thanksgiving. Why are you bringing thanksgiving? You're thanking God for the answer before you get it. That's what you're doing. You're thanking God for the answer before you get it. Proverbs 22:17. And that's exactly what happened. God said to them, see, I have given you Jericho, its king, and its mighty men of valor. I have given them to you. No mighty men of valor can't stand up against God and win. No king can stand up against God and win. No city, no matter how big or important, can stand up against God and win. Proverbs 22, verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. And apply your heart to my knowledge. Verse 18. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. And look what the verse ends by saying. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. Do you see that? And I see you looking at your Bibles. I'm going to read it again because you need to get this. These are principles from God's word that God wants us to have. All right? In our hearts and practicing. We're not just to become knowers of God's word without practicing it. James 1:22 says that's deceitfulness. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Yeah, learn the scriptures, but don't practice them. Because if you don't practice them, you won't get the benefit of them. All right, so I'm reading again. Proverbs 22:17. Incline your ear. Do what to your ear? That means lean it forward in the direction of hearing, you see. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my knowledge. So the words of the wise must come into your life and get into your heart. All right? Verse 18, for it is a pleasant thing when God's word is there, when wise instruction is there. By the way, like you're getting today, it's a wonderful thing. It's a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. Now, you've got to fix your mind and you'll set yourself to declare what God has already declared. That's what this is saying. Let them be fixed upon your lips. You've got to say what God says. In the midst of nothingness, you've got to say what God says. In the midst of impossibilities, you've got to be fixed. Your lips have to be fixed to say what God says. I really pray you get this because I feel this strong in my spirit. And when we fail to... This is why you can't come to church silent. You can't come to church and not praise God. You tell people to praise God. That's not praise. No. It's got to come from where? Where's it going to come from? From deep down, your koilia, your womb, your heart. It's going to come from deep down inside of you. And so that's why the psalmist said, let everything within me praise the Lord. It's going to come from deep down. All right? Isaiah 57:19. So we're going to let God's word be fixed on our lips. You've got to speak the right thing. Say the right thing. Testify when you need to testify. Speak, declare, prophesy, confess. We got to do that. We got to practice that. We're coming to the house of God. We got to worship God. Praise God. Don't be afraid to lift up hands. Don't be afraid to... Because Claude doesn't say, come out of your seats and worship. He wouldn't say that. But if you feel to just come out of your seats like the kids go at the back and worship, that's fine. Do it. Do you understand, folks? Be free in your spirit. Are you with me today? Be free in your spirit, man, to worship God. Don't let circumstances or people... Stop looking to the right and to the left. I don't see anybody doing that, but I'm just saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't lift. Don't look to the right and to the left. Look to your God, man. It's Him you're worshiping. And praise Him. Lift up your hands. Open your mouth. Sing. If you want to dance on the spot, dance on the spot. Walk around and say, Lord, I bless you and I praise you during worship time. Do not do that when the word is being preached. I had somebody years ago do that in church. Some of you might remember when we were at the Kilmore Center and I had to go and speak to that individual and put her firmly. She was visiting us from Jamaica. She'd been with us and enjoyed staying with us, but the time was coming. That was her last Sunday in church, actually. And she did that during the preaching of the word. She decided that she's going to worship God. It's funny what the things people do, man. It's funny the thing. You had another person speaking in tongues while the word was going out. And it was becoming loud and disruptive to others. And I had to go and talk to that individual and say, no, you can't be doing that. You're doing a spiritual thing, but your timing is completely wrong. And you've got to go with the flow. You see, there are signals in the realm of the spirit. And sometimes our goodness, if you like, our good intentions can break that flow, that frequency. And so now others now are distracted from hearing from God. And so we've got to use wisdom. I had to speak to those two individually and spoke to them and gave them sense, if you like, from the word of God and from the natural world as well. Because sometimes that's all we need to do. Think about what we're doing before we do it. Isaiah 57:19. Look at what God says. So we're talking about Proverbs 22:17 says, let the word of God be fixed on your lips. Now look at Isaiah 57:19. It says, God said, I create the fruits of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is afar off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Isn't God good? So whether you're far off, you may feel that, oh, I'm so far from God, I don't know what's happening, I don't know what's happening. Or whether you're near to God, God is saying to you, peace. Peace, peace. And he's saying also, I create the fruits of your lips. I create the fruits of what you're saying. So when you give me praise, when you declare the end result of that situation that you're going through, I create the fruit of it. Fruit is never born immediately. It's born over time. Ask any tree. You plant it, you don't get fruit. You plant it today, you don't get fruit tomorrow. You have to wait. Isn't that right? You have to wait for that fruit to bear. But God says here, I create the fruits of the lips. To him who is far off and to him who is near. And God goes on to say that I will heal him. We've gone through the 9 different Greek words in the past. We've gone through it. Mentioned in the New Testament for the word heal or healing. Okay, 9. And quite a few of them, we see that healing is progressive. It's not always immediate. And so God's word is clear if we take the study. So, because sometimes, you know, we pray for something and nothing happens, no change, no change. And then we come right out of faith. We don't keep our words, the words fixed on our lips. We don't keep declaring the end result. And we cannot give up because nothing's happened. And I believe God is reminding us here, keep on confessing the end result, church. Keep on saying, keep on speaking. Keep on aligning yourself with the truth. And then one day you'll be free. We see it in the Bible. We see it in the New Testament. We see it time and time again, where sometimes people weren't healed. Immediately, we read within that hour they were healed. Time and time again. I'm talking about Jesus' ministry. Within the hour, they were healed. And what am I saying? I'm saying that God has given us his promise. What we've got to do is take a grip of it. Take a hold of it. Okay? And believe it. Okay? And that's our duty. That's our responsibility. Because God has planned your life before you were born. So he already sees and knows what's going to happen. I could go somewhere, but I don't want to go there right now. Because when we look in the book of Hebrews, when you go home, read the book of Hebrews and read the whole chapter 11. And there are 2 verses there that indicate that even though people acted in faith, they did not receive the promise. And I don't want to go down that road because I don't want to diminish what I'm saying to you now or what I believe God is saying to you. But you've got to be in such a place and a walk with your God that even if the thing don't come for you, you're still believing God. Because the promises from Hebrews 11 is that they had God having prepared a better promise for them. Do you hear that? A better promise for them. So yeah, I'm taking this loved one. I think we spoke about this a little bit on Thursday. This loved one might go to be with the Lord. And you may not understand, oh Lord, I don't understand. We prayed, we fast, we do this, we do that. But God, having seen their life, prepared better promises for them. It wasn't his will, his purpose for them to continue. So that's why Pastor Joe, I believe, said that there is, what did you say? What's the phrase? There's peace, there's healing. There's healing in death, she said. There's healing in death. The Bible says death is an enemy, but there's healing in. You see, this is why, you know what the Lord says? The Lord doesn't say, the Bible doesn't describe, especially the words of Jesus in the New Testament. It doesn't describe the death of a believer as death. He says they go to sleep. At one point in the book of John, the disciples couldn't understand that. And Jesus had to turn around and say to them, because they didn't understand. They thought when he said they were sleeping, that they were sleeping. You know, as he took sleep to wake up, sleep, dream, wake up. And it wasn't that. They were going to sleep. They're going to sleep because he knows that there is an awakening. They've already the present. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Jesus had to turn around and say to them, Lazarus is dead. Because they didn't understand when he was saying he was sleeping. But Jesus sees things in the future. And he knows that it's not dead as in completely dead. And that's it, the end of that person. You're sleeping, man, because they're going to be resurrected to a better life. Some of your loved ones have gone before you, and I want to tell you, they're in a better place than you and I. And but God saw that, and God knew that, and God allowed for that, right? Because for each and every single one of us, there is time given, okay? And the amount of time that's given will be different for each person. I don't know, I'm going to stop now. Because there's time given, but in God's eyes, and only he knows. You don't know. I don't know. I'm here today. I could be not here next week. because maybe my time would be up. Do you follow me? I'm not afraid to say that about myself. Because if I know I'm not here, I know where I am. I know where I'm going. But I joined with Paul, you know, and Paul said it was confusing for whether to be absent, you know, from you and to be present with the Lord, or to, he saw the work that needed to be done though, and he said that, oh my gosh, but there's so much work to be done. I would rather be here. But he said, of the two, I'm not sure. Because I know if I'm not here, I'm going to be with the Lord, and praise God, I'll be with the Lord forever. You know, but there's so much work to be done, and that's the urgency that God wants to have us to have in our hearts. There's an urgency of a work to be done, and it's not going to be done by playing church. It's not going to be done by coming and ignoring the walls that are there in your hearts and in your lives. But in the name of Jesus, those walls have to come down today. Bow your heads, close your eyes for me, please.